Chris Bowen is recontesting his seat in Sydney McMahon in New South Wales in May. He is also, of course, Shadow Treasurer and has been throughout Labor's time in opposition. Chris Bowen, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
G'day, Raph. Longest serving Shadow Treasurer in Australian history, mate. But that's something I hope to change.
You would want to change that, wouldn't you? if you're on $45,000 a year, will you get a bigger tax cut under the Coalition or under Labor? And not just now, but, you know, a few years hence, 45 grand a year, who gives a bigger tax cut?
Well, for the tax cuts on offer this year, you get a bigger tax cut under the Labor Party if you're on $45,000 a year. In fact, everybody up to $48,000 a year gets a bigger tax cut under Labor. Now, you are, fair enough, referring to what I would call the never-never plan of the government, which is if they get re-elected this time and the time after, they'll deliver further tax relief. Now, I think most Australians would look at that and say, well, hang on, we're flat chat believing promises about what politicians will deliver for us if they promise to deliver it next week, let alone what's on the never-never.
But some of it's legislation, some of it's law. So that could change would be if someone changed the law, repealed the legislation.
Well, but, you know, normally the traditional way of budgeting, the sort of, if you like, small C conservative, prudent way of budgeting, is to deliver tax relief when it can be afforded, budget by budget. Now, I pointed out last week in my National Press Club speech that for the government to argue that these tax cuts can be afforded, they've built into their budget assumed spending cuts. Now, they've assumed that the amount of spending in the economy comes down from 24.9% of the economy to 23.6%. And this morning we've seen analysis by the Grattan Institute, independent, which shows that is $40 billion a year, Raph, a year. Now, that makes sense because the tax cuts, when they're delivered, will be $50 billion
a year. The Grattan Institute's work and the federal government's forecast around spending in the economy, they are all forecasts. If you're concerned about your...
So is the tax cuts.
Understood,
but
can I just... The tax cut's not a forecast, though. That is legislated. The government has to adjust the budget around it. That tax cut does not change.
But this is my point, Raph. I mean, this is the government's own budget figures. I mean, I didn't calculate these figures. The government has put them in the budget, and they have assumed these spending cuts. Now, if they want to have the debate about tax, and they want to claim, you know, credit...
Well, they say they can grow the pie, so they won't need to cut spending.
Hang on, Raph. It's their budget which says spending's going to fall. So I think it's therefore incumbent on Josh Frydenberg to outline what those cuts are. Are they schools? Are they hospitals? Are they TAFE? Are they the pension? He says they're going to happen. All I'm asking is, well, tell us what they are. You want to have this big debate about what's going to happen in tax over the next decade? Well, all right, your budget says spending will fall to pay for it. I'm not making those outlandish claims about tax relief often than ever, never. We have bigger tax cuts this year because we know they can be afforded, but we have a more sensible, prudent approach, and we do not assume cuts to schools or hospitals or the pension or anything else in our forward budget numbers.
Okay. Compared to the government, that figure I referred to, it's about the tax take as a percentage of the economy, so the slice of the economy taken as tax. Are you going to be taking more or less tax out of the economy?
So the government's said that their tax to GDP ratio, which is sort of, if you like, the official way of referring to what you're talking about, it's going to be 23.9%, which says ours at the end of the forward estimates would be 24.2%.
To put that in context,
that is less than the Howard government had as their tax to GDP ratio. So the Howard government would remain the highest taxing government in Australian history.
But if that number was true, that'd be the highest taxing Labor government ever.
Well, we would still be under the Howard government.
But you agree that it would be the highest taxing Labor government ever?
Well, I agree it would be under the Howard government. I need to get the historical figures, but, you know, obviously we've been very upfront.
The Hawke government, we're 1 point below where it is now, which is 23.3.
Yeah.
To be the highest taxing Labor government
traditionally,
ever?
Traditionally, what's happened is that each government has edged up over the years. That's right. That's the point you're making. I'm making the point that we would not edge up as much as the Howard government had it at.
So why is that not a danger to the economy? If you're going to put a bigger tax take on the economy than the government, why is that How is that going to help the economy? Surely that hinders the economy.
Well, you've got to look at our policies as a whole. We have big investments in health and education. We make no apologies for that. We also recognise that they need to be paid for. We also recognise, in our view, we need bigger budget surpluses going forward, and we would deliver bigger budget surpluses because of the range of our policies. Yes, we're investing more in schools and hospitals. Normally, when an opposition says we're going to invest more in schools and hospitals, they therefore go on to say, but we'll have bigger deficits to pay for it. I'm not doing that.
Bigger tax bill, though.
I'm saying we have made the tough decisions elsewhere. Now, to be clear, Raf, I mean, closing down or reforming unaffordable tax concessions and loopholes is an important part of what we're doing. And I'm happy to talk about those in detail. But just before we do, of course, Australia will remain a low-taxing country by international comparisons under us. In fact, we will remain in the bottom third of the OECD. So Australia already taxes much less than many other countries that we would compare ourselves with. We are historically a low-taxing country.
Yes.
And we will remain a low-taxing country under a Shorten Labor government. We'd remain in the bottom third of the OECD.
Chris Bowen is with us. He's the Shadow Treasurer. If the polls are right, and they've been pointing this way for a number of years, actually, he would become the new Treasurer of Australia in May. You've got an election in just a little over 4.5 weeks. Chris Bowen, there are some documents at the moment on Labor's website around your negative gearing policy that have been removed from the website. I'm okay with people updating policies to fit in new numbers. That's fine. Will there be a new figure there for how many investment loans are for new houses?
Oh, Raf, more than happy to do with this. This is a complete furphy that's been pushed by the government. Of course, political parties update their websites all the time. I mean, in a particular election campaign. Now, I see the Liberals claiming that we're, hiding our policy. For goodness sake.
I mean, I just want to know if there's going to be a new figure for negative gearing investment.
And I answered these questions last week in some detail at the National Press.
Yeah, I agree.
We've made the point historically that if your policy objective of negative gearing is to encourage new property or new construction, and that policy is a failure because the vast majority of negative gearing goes into existing properties. Historically, that's been around 90%.
Sure. I'm happy to concede that point, but can I ask a very specific question? You're right. You answered a lot of those questions last week. Get the question out again so everyone knows the precise question I'm asking? Will there be a new figure for what you say is going on now, for how many investment loans are for new houses?
Well, I've already answered that at the National Press Club. Some of the latest figures we see indicate that it's now more in the high 80s, the mid to high 80s than the low 90s. And I acknowledge that that's what the latest research indicates the change has been, of course. And, of course, our public statements will continue to reflect that.
So there'll be a different figure.
And of course, Raf, the whole policy objective of our policy of limiting negative gearing to new properties going forward is to encourage new construction. That's the whole policy objective. So we'll have lots of, there's plenty of detail out there on our policy documents.
Yes.
And I come on many shows to answer questions as I'm doing now today. And I'm very happy to indicate to you that, of course, if there's new data which shows that the data has changed, I recognise that and reflect that. And that's reflected in our public comments and our documents. But what a complete blow up.
Okay, I think you've made that point. I want to squeeze in a few more topics that I'm sure you'd like to cover as well. Labor's got this very similar target to the coalition when it comes to electric vehicles. One of the things you'll do, though, away from electric vehicles is just the cars we buy right now. Labor has said that you will have a better emission standards on petrol and diesel vehicles. I just want to know this. Cars under a better and different emissions standard, will they cost the same as under the current standard, or will they cost more?
Well, what we're bringing is Australia into line with the emissions standards elsewhere, particularly the United States. I mean, the United States are home to much car manufacturing.
Yep, big trucks that run on low emissions and run electric. Yeah. But will the new standard make cars more expensive?
It will do many things, of course. It's got a policy objective, and we're going to consult about some of the implementation details with the sector, of course. But this whole policy is designed, of course, to make our fleet more energy efficient. I mean, a lot of emissions come from transport. But also, Raf, and this is a key point, to give people actually more choice. I mean, many people come to us and say, we would buy an electric vehicle if they were cheaper or there were more charging stations.
Understood.
This government policy or this government sort of, slogan about this is a car tax, which is a lie. I mean, a tax must have revenue attached to it.
I'm not saying anything that the government is saying. This is a question to try to explain to everyone listening what you'll do. I know that it's Labor's policy to have a better emission standard on cars. Does a better emission standard make the batch of cars available to us the same price or more expensive?
Well, it doesn't necessarily have any impact on price. Right? I'm not suggesting it puts downward pressure on prices, that particular element of our policy.
So it won't make a difference to cost of the cars, you don't think?
It's not designed as a cost measure. It's designed as a measure to encourage the entire sector to ensure that emissions in the transport sector over time are coming down.
The cars will be no more expensive, you don't think, under a new emissions
standard? No.
Have you ever been to Notre Dame, the cathedral in Paris?
I have twice, as I recall.
Do you remember much about it?
I do, of course, and I think that nobody who could be whether they've visited or not, even if you haven't visited, I think you'd understand the international cultural significance, let alone the religious significance for many people, but just the cultural significance of such a magnificent piece of architecture. I think this is a day which will stay with us all for a very long time. What a great tragedy to see those centuries of culture just disappear before our eyes. I first visited several years ago, and then I took my kids back a few years later, just to take in the amazing architecture. I mean, it's up there in the world's most iconic building. Shortly,
if I can just ask you to explain why this idea was advocated by Bill Shorten today. He says the Australian government should pitch in to help restore the cathedral. The government said no. Why do you think the Australian government should contribute something?
Well, I think Bill was just indicating here that he was happy to be constructive. I think, to be fair, the suggestion first came from Malcolm Turnbull, who said both Labor and Liberal should agree to make a contribution. Bill made the point that the Notre Dame Cathedral is not the property of France, it's the property of the world, and we might all want to make a contribution. The government's come out and ruled that out, fair enough, but I think Bill was being constructive and saying that, if there was such
The reason behind it. Why do you think maybe the Australian government should be involved?
Because it is, as we've said, a matter of some international significance. And I think if there was a proposal for Australia, either through government or through individual contributions, to make a contribution, I think many Australians would be open to that idea.
Thanks so much for your time.
Nice to talk to you, Raph.